the Winning Idea Podcast, helping you create bigger, better advertising concepts faster. I'm Rob Aspinall, and in today's masterclass, we're going to be looking at the personal filters that hamper our thinking as creatives. We're going to ask how and why reality is not real. And we're going to look at how our perceived pains and pleasures drive behaviour, because this is very important when it comes to consumer behaviour and therefore how audiences interact with our advertising and our concepts. And finally, we'll look at why it's so important to stand outside of our biases. As Mark Twain said, it's all about questioning yourself. He said that it ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. So what does he mean by that? Well, he's basically saying don't believe everything that you think. Don't believe all of your assumptions. They may not actually be true. You can basically get into trouble if you just assume that all your beliefs and all your current knowledge is the way it is. And if you assume that what you think and how you see the world is how your audience are going to view the world and respond, then you can get into a little bit of trouble in terms of your results. Now, this is a really important part of advertising. I'd highly recommend working on this part of yourself as a creative, because our brains take in 11 million bits of information per second. I mean, that's a mind-blowing amount. But actually, we only process around 40 bits per second, because with so much sensory input coming in all the time, we just wouldn't be able to handle it. Our heads would explode, or we'd just turn to jelly, you know. Just to be able to function as a human being in this world, especially nowadays, so much stimuli around. Essentially, our brains need to be like nightclub bouncers. They need to decide what gets in. So this means we only tend to see a version of events, and that version is our version, because we actually don't see with our eyes. We actually see with our brains. If you think of the eyes, they're actually like kind of windows, not only windows receiving information through them, but actually they're a bit like screens as well. Like our brains are like projectors. They actually project a made-up version of reality out into the world. This means to inspire, convince, and compel anyone to do anything, we have to see past our version of the world as we see it. We have to first know how our audience sees the world. So we have our own personal biases, whether we like it or not, simply because our brains have to construct a model of the world. They have to construct something that they think, well, this is true, and this is what we know. In order to just go about our daily lives, we have to categorize things. We have to use past experiences to try and predict the future. But if we can get past these blinkers, if we can actually see beyond ourselves, it puts us at an immediate advantage, because first of all, not everybody will be doing this. And second of all, it'll allow us to see solutions that just weren't there before. So really, this is relevant to us in terms of our audience. We want to be able to put ourselves in the audience's shoes, not just from a rational perspective, but from an emotional perspective, to empathize and sympathize with their point of view and any challenges they're facing and any dreams they may have. We want to be able to see what they see and think what they think and feel what they feel and ultimately know what's important to them, because we can pretty much forget the rest. We can pretty much forget what we think they should think or feel, what a client would like them to think or feel. That's basically irrelevant. People don't care what you have to sell. They only care how you can help them. So when we understand their emotional view of the world, their dreams, their desires, their doubts, their fears, we can then position our offer in a way that helps them meet their current emotional need. Essentially, we're tapping into pain and pleasure points in people's lives. How does this work? Well, every action we take in life is one of two things. It's either one, a move away from pain, whether it's real or perceived, or two, a move towards pleasure, real or perceived. We may just imagine the pain or pleasure a lot of the time, and it's not the actual reality. It may also be an attempt to do both at once. In fact, it often is. It's a move away from pain and towards pleasure. If you think about, you may look in the mirror and think, put a bit of a belly on and I'm going to eat correctly and everything else. So first of all, you're recognizing a point of perceived pain, you know, is undesirable in your eyes. But also you're imagining at the same time the pleasure. You're thinking of the confidence you'll have. you're thinking of getting back into those jeans you used to get into 5 years ago. It's often a combination of both. It's the push and pull of the two that often are the most powerful and get you really moving in life towards certain goals, whatever they are, and certain behaviour changes. Now, advertising is not far from a matter of life and death. But when it comes to the decisions of our audience, when it comes to compelling them to act and getting them to invest time and money and energy in what we want them to do, it is actually a matter of life and death. Let me explain. The brain's sole task is actually to keep us alive, safe, and well. It's to keep the body alive long enough to procreate and raise children and everything else, in essence. And it's very much a primitive brain. And there's not the part of the brain that's concerned with politics or art house movies or anything like that. There are no shades of grey to this brain. Quite simply, pain equals death and pleasure equals life. So obviously, it's going to try and steer you away from pain and towards pleasure at every point in time. Now, depending on what you link pain and pleasure to, it's not always the best way of working, but it's the way we work. For instance, if you've ever procrastinated, if you've ever thought, I know I need to go to the gym, I know I should eat healthier, I know I should tidy up, whatever it is, you know, if you know you should do it and you want to do it, well, why don't you? It's because you associate more pain with the task than you do pleasure with the result. And it can work the other way around as well. You can have something that in theory is pleasurable, but you secretly attach pain to it. This explains why people self-sabotage. They think consciously, okay, I want this in my life. Let's say they want a relationship. But subconsciously, they associate pain with being in a relationship. So therefore, the subconscious mind will do everything it can through the brain in order to sabotage the result. So we need to understand what role our offer is playing in this life and death equation, because it's hugely powerful. We need to know, will it help our audience move away from pain, also known as death, or will it help them move towards pleasure? To the brain, this is life, this is expansion and evolution. Or will it help them to do both? In most cases, it probably will, away from pain and towards pleasure. But what role does our offer fulfill in this life and death matrix? In order to understand this, we need to stand outside of our own pain-pleasure equation. We all have our own equation that we take as reality, we take as true, but other people see things differently. We need to know how they think and feel in order to understand what's going to motivate them away from pain and towards pleasure, and how our offer can help them do that. This will tell us the message we need to convey and how to bring it to life through words and images in our concepts. So this really is hugely powerful and very, very important. We must make immediate sense out of the world in order for us to navigate and survive it. So the brain will do this by looking to what's in our mind. It will look to our self-image, and the world around us is then seen in relation to our identity and what's important to us. Because that's ultimately it. The brain needs to know what's important so that it can keep us alive and help us thrive. And essentially, all the beliefs and viewpoints that the subconscious mind is programmed with will determine how the brain is wired and therefore what information it lets in through the door. Because it's deeming the information. Is it necessary or is it unnecessary? Is it important or is it not? Is it part of who we are and our life as we see it? You know, all these kind of things. It's running all these calculations all the time. And it's omitting most things because it simply needs to. In pretty much every case, it's deciding what things mean. So you may recall the relatively recent phenomenon of the blue and black dress. It went viral all over the world on social media, and it was hotly debated by everyone from Taylor Swift to Kanye West to Justin Bieber. And the reason was that the dress featured a horizontal striped pattern that people either said was white and gold or blue and black, depending on who you spoke to. I remember at the time we were all looking at the same image, yet we were all seeing something different. I think I was freelancing in an agency at the time, and an account executive swore to me that the dress was blue and black, while I swore that it was white and gold. Now, obviously, I was a copywriter and I had a basic understanding of the nature of how we view the world. So I suggested it was different. I suggested that it was our brains interpreting it differently. And at the time she swore I was making it up. She thought I was inventing all this theory, but it is true. The reason Taylor Swift saw blue and black and Kanye West saw white and gold is that we don't see with our eyes. We see whatever we're primed to see, depending on how our brains are wired. Now don't worry, we're not going to go any deeper into the complexities or mysteries of human psychology, only to realise that this example shows us that our brains will see things subjectively, and that's the important part. This means that we can never fully trust our view of the world. We may think we're objective, because after all, we think, we analyse, we rationalise, we consider the facts, and the facts are there in front of us in blue and black or white and gold. But when we're the audience and when we're the consumer, that's okay, we get to see things however we want. That's fine, we can choose blue or black and white or gold. But as creatives, we have to take conscious control over our own minds, and we have to use our imaginations to prise ourselves out of our own moulds and into the mental maps of our audience, how they see things. That's all that matters. Because who they are as people, our audience, that will tell us what they see, and therefore what it takes for them to engage with, invest in, and take action on our advert or offer, and that's what's important to us.